Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases the stories and radio productions from this and many other community stations across the country. I'm Bill Weinberg of WBAI in New York City. Today on Sprouts, we focus on frogs.
Throw away your pop, romping through the swamp, romping through the swamp in the month of May. Wading through the slimy ooze, you can drive away your blues, romping through the swamp. Let your troubles fly, smelling like a sty, frolicking with the water, snakes and newts, where it's always warm and muggy, also spidery and buggy, romping through the swamp. Talking on your womp, lying in the swamp, looking at the ways blaze haze can raise. You can be a mighty satyr wrestling with an alligator, romping through the swamp. You can spend your time covered up with slime, saying I love you to the rot and goo, lurching through the quagmire, head aflame with swamp fire, romping through the swamp.
Welcome aboard to Sprouts, where I am Bill Weinberg of WBAI Radio in New York City. And we just took the Wayback Machine all the way back to, quite significantly, 1968. That was Romping Through the Swamp by Dave Van Ronk and the Hudson Dusters. A very amusing little ditty, written by one Peter Stampfel. And, of course, all of those militaristic sounds at the end of war and death and destruction were very appropriate for the year 1968, when exactly that was going on in Vietnam, and it was on the front pages of our newspapers across the country and on the minds of a lot of people, just as Iraq and Afghanistan are on the minds of a lot of people today. And in this amusing little song about romping through the swamp in the month of May, by implication with all the sound effects at the end, it's really about, we find this poor guy romping through the swamp is actually a GI conscript in the jungles of Vietnam. Well, similarly, as I say, today we are, our minds are frequently on, these ghastly crises and wars which are raging all across the planet, and the quagmire in Iraq, and the quagmire which has sort of gone off the radar screen to a certain extent in Afghanistan. And then you've got the whole dreadful Israeli-Palestinian crisis and many, many other type situations all across the world which demand our attention, just as this hideous immigration bill, which is pending in Congress, demands our attention, and the apparently imminent overturn of Roe versus Wade demands our attention, and the recent repassage of the Patriot Act demands our attention. And meanwhile, while all of this stuff is demanding our attention, We tend to forget that day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, the normal, everyday, quotidian functioning of the capitalist system is destroying the planet. And one of the warning signs, like the proverbial canaries in the coal mine, which reaches us occasionally, percolates up into the headlines when it happens to something which is sufficiently newsworthy about what is an ongoing crisis all around the world, is that the frogs are dying. Yes, the frogs are dying. It's a global frog dieback, and the scientists are not quite sure exactly what is behind it. And in addition to the global frog dieback, there's also a global wave of frog mutations, which is going on. Frogs born with all sorts of hideous birth defects and so on, and they aren't quite sure what it's about. But just recently, there was one story where a scientist came up with a theory, which seems fairly convincing. And it happened to make headlines, in fact. This was from the Washington Post of January 12th of this year. Study: global warming killing frog species. Rising temperatures are responsible for pushing dozens of frog species to extinction in the past three decades, according to new findings being reported today by a team of Latin American and U.S. scientists. The study, published in the journal Nature, provides concrete evidence that climate change has already contributed to wiping out species and could spur more extinctions and the spread of diseases worldwide. It also helps solve the mystery of why amphibians across the globe have been vanishing from their usual habitats over the past quarter century. As many as 112 species have disappeared since 1980. Scientists have speculated that rising temperatures and changing weather patterns could endanger the survival of many species. But the new study documents for the first time a direct correlation between global warming and the disappearance of roughly 65 amphibian species in Central and South America. The fate of amphibians, whose permeable skin makes them sensitive to environmental changes, is seen by scientists as a possible harbinger of global warming's effects. Rising temperatures are threatening the survival of plants and animals worldwide, from the coral reefs of the Caribbean that serve as critical fish nurseries to South African rhododendrons. J. Allen Pounds, resident scientist at the Tropical Science Center's Monte Verde Cloud Forest Preserve in Costa Rica, and the study's lead author, worked with 13 other researchers to pin down the link between rising temperatures in the tropics and the spread of the deadly chytrid fungus, which has wiped out dozens of species of harlequin frogs in recent years. Disease is the bullet killing frogs, but climate change is pulling the trigger, Pound said. Global warming is wreaking havoc on amphibians and will cause staggering losses of biodiversity if we don't do something first. The paper explains how global warming has allowed the chytrid fungus, which kills frogs by attacking their skin and teeth as well as by releasing a toxin, to thrive in Costa Rica and neighboring countries. The higher temperatures result in more water vapor in the air, which in turn forms cloud cover that leads to cooler days and warmer nights. These conditions favor the fungus, which grows and reproduces best at temperatures between 66 and 73 degrees Fahrenheit. At least 110 species of the vibrantly colored amphibians once lived near streams in the Central and South American tropics, but about two-thirds disappeared in the 1980s and 90s. While researchers had previously identified the fungus as a major reason for the frog's demise, they have been trying to determine why the disease has taken such a major toll in recent years. Looking at more than 65 harlequin frog species that had vanished, researchers found that 80% of the time there was a correlation between higher temperatures and the species' disappearance. After a warm peak in 1987, for instance, five species died off. There's a coherent pattern of disappearance all the way from Costa Rica to Peru, Pound said. Here's a case where we can show that global warming is affecting outbreaks of this disease. Amphibians are experiencing a precipitous decline in Africa, Asia, and North America, according to a comprehensive 2004 survey which cited climate change as well as deforestation, pollution, and habitat loss as key factors. So now, subsequently, after this appeared in the journal Nature back in January, there was something of an outcry where the global warming skeptics, so to speak, who are well lubricated by the oil industry, began attacking this study as not up to academic standards and jumping to conclusions and propagandistic, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, I cannot pass judgment on that because, you know, I am a mere journalist. I don't have a degree in frog ecology. So I am agnostic on whether this study is truly valid. But I will say that when we are talking about the planet Earth and its ability to sustain life, beginning with the most vulnerable species, such as amphibians, but eventually with potential, you know, ripple effects, you know, as they say, you know, the frogs could just be an early harbinger of some of a truly global crisis, eventual effects which could affect the larger species, such as human beings. When we're talking about the sustainability of the global biosphere, which maintains all planetary life, I think that there's a case to be made for a certain precautionary principle. So this is just one recent example where the global frog dieback actually did very briefly percolate up into the headlines. But there has been it's been an ongoing issue with the frogs for quite a long time. The frogs have been in big trouble for quite some time, and through a rigorous survey of all of the press coverage on the dire plight of global froggery, I have assembled a series of some news clips over the course of the past few years, which, when taken together, paint a rather grim picture. Here's another one from earlier this year. This is from February 11th of 2006. Rare frog faces extinction, scientists warn. This is from the Associated Press, Dateline, Yosemite National Park, California. The mountain yellow-legged frog has survived for thousands of years in lakes and streams carved by glaciers, living up to 9 months under snow and ice and then emerging to issue its raspy chorus across the Sierra Nevada range. But the frog's call is going silent as a mysterious fungus pushes it towards extinction. It's very dramatic, said Yosemite biologist Lara Rakowitz. One year you visit a lake and the population will seem fine. The next year you go back and you see a lot of dead frogs scattered along the bottom of the pond. In a couple of years, the population is gone. End quote. There are about 650 populations left in Yosemite, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon National Parks, but most lakes only have 1 to 5 frogs, not enough to guarantee survival. And 85% are infected with the lethal fungus. The frogs were once so thick that tadpoles frothed in shallow waters, and it was hard not to step on a frog on the shore. Their decline began with the artificial stocking of trout in Sierra Lakes, first carried in buckets by mule and then dropped by plane for sport fishing. The voracious predator pushed the frogs into isolated lakes. The remaining frogs can't withstand the fungus and can't travel far enough in trout-infested streams to repopulate depleted habitat. The frog population has dropped by 10% a year for 5 years. Rakowitz said it at a gathering last month of 24 experts trying to save the frog. The chytrid fungus, linked to the extinction of amphibians from Australia to Costa Rica, grows on frog skin, making it hard to use their pores and regulate water intake. The frogs die of thirst in the water, Rakowitz said. Despite the threat of extinction, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service lacks funds to make the frog an endangered species. Right, so here we have science being dictated by budgetary constraints. Not good. Federal officials also questioned what good it would do because the fungus isn't coming from agriculture or development that can be curbed. It's an act of God type of thing, said Harry McKillen, chief of the Endangered Species Recovery Branch of the agency's Sacramento office, that is, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. How do you deal with something that seems overwhelmingly out of your control? End quote. Well, this problem, I will interject editorially here, may be out of our control at this point, but it's not an act of God. I mean, this has roots which are traced back directly to human intervention. So this is not something which is merely the arbitrary workings of nature here. Okay, to continue. The fungus is frightening because it kills frogs quickly, even in untouched habitats, scientists said. It's a mass extinction in the making, said J. Allen Pounds, once again our friend from the previous article, who wrote an article in the journal Nature linking the fungus to global warming. His research offered the first solid clue to an international scientific mystery, the disappearance of as many as 112 amphibian species since 1980. U.S. biologists will look at breeding the critters in captivity, which has not been done successfully. They may also reestablish frogs in areas where they've disappeared and remove more non-native trout from some high Sierra lakes. Trout removal has had promising results in Sequoia and Kings Canyon, but could prove unpopular with anglers. Quote, recreational fishing is a long-standing valid activity in the park, and we recognize that, said Steve Thompson, Yosemite's lead wildlife biologist. But the park has a dual mission, to protect resources and provide for their enjoyment. If you don't protect the resources, it'll prevent the enjoyment, quote unquote. And that is a quote which cuts right to the heart of so-called ecotourism as a solution. I mean, as the theory goes, you give habitat, frog habitat in this case, you know, a functioning niche in the global capitalist economy, and then there's an incentive to preserve the habitat. But as we can see, sometimes the actual act of giving the habitat a niche has its own ecological impacts. So to move on with some other clips from the world of global froggery, going back to April 2005 from the BBC, this one is a little bit ominous. Mystery of German exploding toads. Thousands of toads in Altona, Germany, are dying. Toads in an area of northern Germany are being killed off by a mysterious disease. They are exploding. Thousands of the amphibians have died in recent days in a pond in Hamburg's Altona district, with their bodies swelling to the bursting point. The toads' entrails are propelled for up to a meter, 3.2 feet, in scenes that have been likened to science fiction. Scientists are baffled, as well they might be. Possible explanations include an unknown virus or fungus in the pond. Quote, you see the animals crawling on the ground, swelling, and then exploding, German conservationist Werner Smolnik told AFP news agency. The bodies of the toads expanded to 3.5 times their normal size, he said. I've never seen such a thing, AFP quotes veterinarian Otto Horst as saying. The site, which has been dubbed the Pond of Death, has been closed to the public. And that's the mystery of the German exploding toads. You are listening to Sprouts Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly news magazine produced by this community station and many others around the country. And once again, I am Bill Weinberg of WBAI here in New York City, and we are talking about the dire situation which is faced by global froggery. And once again, there happened to be a little percolation of the global frog crisis into the headlines recently, which is sort of the peg we're using to hang the show on. But we're noting the many, many other dire situations faced by frogs around planet Earth, which do not make the headlines, but are buried in the back pages and can only be found by the frog-obsessed who search for them on the internet. And this one is a particularly strange and sad story. From This Is North Scotland, April 13th, 2004, mutilated frogs found at pond after cruel attack. Police are probing the deaths of dozens of frogs at a northeast beauty spot, northeast Scotland, that is. A total of 115 amphibians were found with their legs ripped off on the banks of a pond in Moneymusk Estate. The tiny creatures were still alive when they were mutilated and suffered lengthy, agonizing deaths. It is feared the limbs were taken to be sold as delicacies in high-class restaurants, and police believe many more frogs have yet to be found in and around the area, which lies in the shadow of Benachi. An estate worker discovered the mutilated frogs and toads with their hind legs cut off in the water and scattered around the pond yesterday, but it's unclear when the attack took place. On the subject of notes, this is subject to some controversy, whether in fact this was just a sheer irrational act of human cruelty, or if in fact these frogs were poached for the global market in frogs' legs. And yes, frogs too are falling victim to globalization. This from the South African news agency IOL, April 26, 2004. Asian frogs croak to satisfy French foodies. Dateline Epinal, France. Gourmets and other food lovers consumed about 7 tons of frog's legs at the 32nd annual Fair of the Frog, held in the eastern French town of Vittel at the weekend, organizers said on Monday. An estimated 25,000 people paid 650 euros apiece to devour a dozen frog's legs at the fair, which is organized every fourth weekend in April by the Brotherhood of Frog's Leg Tasters. The delicacy was served with snail butter in an omelet or in the Provençal style, according to the Brotherhood, which was founded in the 1960s. However, a member of the Brotherhood admitted that the frogs that croaked to feed the thousands were not French, but had been imported frozen from Indonesia. But they were still very good, she said. So here, once again, you know, this is, sounds like a nice little quaint French rural tradition. You know, they have the frog festival to show how much they love the frogs. But in the meanwhile, you know, it's kind of gotten, it's turned into a tourism spectacle and it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten too big. And now they aren't even eating local frogs, but they're bringing in scab frogs from Indonesia. And the frogs of Indonesia are paying with their lives by the thousands. Globalization of frogs. And all right. Now, after that seemingly isolated cruel attack, the mutilated frogs in the pond in North Scotland. Well, there's another story related from a more recent story from Australia, from March 20th of this year, 2006, from the UK Register, about calls for actual frog genocide in Australia, where it seems that they brought in cade tones to try to keep insect populations down. And now the cade tones are reproducing out of control, and consequently there are calls to have them ruthlessly exterminated. Okay, once again, March 20th of this year, 2006, from the UK Register. Aussies hit cane toads for six. How's that? Residents in Australia's Northern Territory have begun staging mass exterminations of invading cane toads, the BBC reports. Local government last weekend backed a series of events under the banner, "Not in my backyard." Federal MP Dave Tallner stepped up with slaughter tips. I suggested that people should hit them with golf clubs or cricket bats, you know, lumps of wood, whatever was at hand. The Australian RSPCA appealed for more humane methods. They recommended daubing the blighters with hemorrhoid cream. Apparently, it put the toads in a coma so they can be stuck in the freezer to kill them painlessly. But Tallner favors the more direct approach. You know, to me, it seems far easier to just flog them over the head with a lump of wood. The cane toad is an introduced species and is causing damage to the native ecology. Crocodiles die from eating their poisonous skin. The toad was introduced in a disastrous effort to eradicate another South American invasive species, the cane beetle. As reported recently, evolutionary biologists have found the toads evolving longer legs so they can cover even more ground in their seemingly unstoppable march across Australia. Advancing at up to 30 miles per year, with a population swelling to 100 million individuals, Darwin in the Northern Territory is now the front line of the battle against Bufo marinus, as the cave toad is known by its Latin moniker. So once again, we have the interrelated problems of the introduction, whether intentional or unintentional, of exotic species upsetting the general ecological balance and having synergistic effects with apparently the entire global biosphere going out of whack due to global warming and fossil fuel use, and this, you know, leading to the outbreak of disease, and then in the form of backlash, calls for actual, you know, mass murder of the critters. So this is definitely food for thought. I guess that's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to me, Bill Weinberg of WBAI Radio here in New York City, speaking about the global frog dieback for Earth Day, I guess, this year, with production assistance from Doug George of WBAI here in New York City. And once again, we're going to go out with Romping Through the Swamp by Dave Van Ronk and the Hudson Dusters, 1968, a fine celebration of spring. This time we're going to take the alternative version, the live version.
Show away your pomp, romping through the swamp, romping through the swamp in the month of May, wading through the slimy ooze, you can drive away your blues. Frolicking with the water snakes and newts, where it's always warm and barky, also spidery and barky, romping through the swamp. Toking on your wop, lying in the swamp, looking at the waves, blaze, haze, and rays. You can be a muddy satyr wrestling with an alligator, romping through the swamp. Your time covered up with slime, frolicking with the water snakes and nymphs, breaking through the quagmire, head aflame with swamp fire, romping through the swamp.
Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network, thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to be rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Bill Weinberg in New York City. Remember, frogs matter, and see you next week on Sprouts.